This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our communication and our leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill. And in our episode today, we are nearing the end of our 10 Tips for Public Speaking series. We're on tip number 9. And I've drawn inspiration from Toastmasters on each of these tips. And the Toastmasters tip number 9 is concentrate on the message, not the medium. But back in episode 081, we reframed tip number 1. Instead of know your material, we said you are the medium. So we spent that episode making the case that speakers are more qualified than they realize. And if you have not heard that one, it's worth a listen. But today we're going to take the medium as settled. You are it. Now let us talk about what you're putting through that medium, the content. I'm going to reframe the tip on this one too. So what this episode is really about, tip 9, as I am framing it for our purposes, is this: structure your message. And when I say structure, I don't mean write a dissertation, build a PowerPoint deck, or write out the entirety of a script. I mean, know what you're going to say, know the order you're going to say it, and most critically, know how you are going to move from one point to the next. That last part is where I feel most speakers at some point in the journey will fall short. And this is where we're going to spend most of our time today. To couple along with this, we have a word of the day. The word of the day is cohesion. We'll define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. Okay, we're back. The word of the day today is cohesion. In its noun form, it means the quality of forming a unified, well-connected whole. As an adjective, it would be characterized by being logically and consistently connected. Or as an adverb, in a unified and connected manner. Right? An example in a sentence here, a well-planned set of transitions gives your talk cohesion. The audience follows you without ever feeling lost. It works. But let's talk about some things that don't work. Before we really go into some of the strategies I use to get the structure in place, I want to acknowledge some of the things that I see people do and depend on that, for me, it has not worked. Some people it does, and it's okay. So if you're using any of these things, and I do use some of these things at intervals, let's talk about them. The first thing is reading from notes. And hey, fair criticism here. I'm doing it right now. And I usually do for each episode that we're recording. But the most common thing I see is a heavy reliance on notes or just reading straight through a script. And I get it. Writing things down first is actually something I have to do. I have to do it if I'm going to have a good free-flowing topic. You don't want to have me just get on here and hit record and go. It will be all over the place. It is not what you want. So that's for these podcasts. But the problem is if you're reading, it generally will feel read, especially when you're in front of an audience. The audience absolutely knows why. It's because your eye contact breaks. And when you're in a room in front of a live audience, reading from the notes actually creates a constant tension between you making eye contact with them and keeping place on a page. You look up, you lose your spot. You look down, you lose the room. Things unravel quickly. The notes become a leash. You're anchored to it, and it can be really crippling. The most frustrating thing I see people face is when they lose their spot on that page, and then they know they've lost their spot, and then they're apologizing that they lost their spot, which now, like in our last episode, we're talking about their error, and it just falls to pieces. the big risk of using notes or a script is that you will almost certainly lose your place at some point, or you're going to be disconnected from the room. That's one thing, reading from notes. And there's another version of this, and I actually tried it in the last episode I did before I actually did the actual recording I did. I did a failed recording because I started using a teleprompter. Can't remember if I gave Tracy that outtake or not. It'd be a pretty comical one. I actually do want to get better at reading from a teleprompter. I think that's a legitimate skill that some people have and probably need to practice. And I haven't figured out a way to bring it into a Toastmasters club yet, but we're going to do that. In my most recent experience, though, I lasted about 20 seconds before I just completely had to can it. It was frustrating. I went right back to just putting a document in front of me off to the side of my screen, and that works for me, at least in a digital realm. I haven't ever had a chance to use a teleprompter in front of an audience. That would be a trip. But yes, I use notes. Yes, sometimes I stay on point with them. I imagine that skill for reading a teleprompter, although it can be developed, it's the one I was using. It wasn't going at a steady speed with my speaking. It was just going at a steady speed. And it didn't account for the natural pauses or sometimes acceleration of a specific phrase that I would use, any breaks or anything like that. So it was disconnected from me already in that way. But the worst part of it was a tiny little bit of the screen where only a few words were coming up, and I could see just a little bit of the next line just before that, but it wasn't a lot. When you're looking at notes, and you could test this yourself, if you want to speak them out loud, you're reading ahead of that spot that you're at in many cases. At least my mind does it that way. Everybody's probably a little different on that, but I couldn't do it. The teleprompter was tough. And if I wanted to go off in a tangent like I think I just did, I'm pretty sure everything I said is not in my notes here for the last paragraph. The teleprompter should have just been able to pause, and it didn't have that capability. It was awful. And that would have been really awful for a speech. I'm pretty sure we have some politicians that do this today. But either way, the teleprompter case for me out of the picture. It would just make more post-editing work for Tracy. So you're welcome, Tracy. The other thing, though, beyond notes or any form of digital notes like the teleprompter is, memorization is where I see some people think they need to get to. It's like, oh yeah, it's a new speech. I haven't memorized it yet. It's like, good. No, don't ever do that. You might get to a point where you're giving a canned speech on a regular basis that you're just like uber familiar with. Some of the keynote speakers, for example, that you have, they've probably done their speeches 10,000 times. Who even knows? Thousands for sure. Over and over and over and over again, repetition makes them know exactly where they're. But that's sometimes more of a performance than an actual speech or dialogue or connecting with an audience in that way. And even them, they know their material so well that they can stop doing their material and just be present and pick up the material where they need to be, and they're back off to the races. So memorization is risky. And look, in full memorization, if you do lose your train of thought, there's no note in front of you to get you back on there. So people don't even recognize, though, how many repetitions it takes to have a memorized speech feel like it flows naturally. And the ones that I have seen is some people that have been through our club, like really gifted memories, memorizing a speech felt the same way a script feels when it's being read. But look at it this way, where notes pull your eyes down, memorization pulls your mind inward. And then a teleprompter asks you to chase your words. So in each case, you're reacting to content rather than leading the audience through it. And the common flaw is the same. You're prioritizing the words over the connection. So I don't like using those things to know where I am and to get to the next place. And let's talk about what happens when you do lose that place. What happens without structure? This is not theoretical for me. I have given close to 100 speeches in my Toastmasters club, and many were loosely prepared. Sometimes I'm filling in a speaking slot last minute because there were no other volunteers on a certain night, and I just wanted to practice in front of a room of people. I do a lot of stuff digitally all the time, so being in front of an audience is just good for me to be able to keep that skill fresh. But sometimes the content that I'm delivering is simply not, we'll call it, fully cooked. The veteran members in my club, and they have a way of recognizing this. Their feedback will usually include a statement like, I'm guessing that one did not cook very long. Their answer, and my answer to them is, you are correct. The point is, I know what it feels like when the structure's off. It feels like winging it. because you are. You have your points, but without a planned transitions, your brain is going to go looking for the next thing in the moment, and it grabs whatever is most available, which is usually something loosely related to where you just were, but not necessarily where you meant to go. You drift, you go into the weeds, you introduce a point you had not planned for, and the audience feels it right about the same moment you do too. And they may not be able to name what's happening, but that sense of loss of direction is there. The talk starts to feel long in those cases, even if it's not. Once the audience is lost, the clock goes slower is what I feel like. Cohesion breaks down. And once it does, it's really hard to recover mid-speech when something like that has occurred. You're usually going to go over time and good luck getting back on the trail. Now, I've learned, and look, sometimes I still forget, the most important thing to do a speech well is to make a quick outline, complete with transitions. If you know the topic well enough, it'd take you barely 15 minutes to make an outline. And these days you can speak it into an AI and it will help you build the outline. It's incredible. Some of those tools out there, I encourage it now. Try doing that and get that outline intact. Now, in my speaking workshops, I've done multiple in the industry and I've had the opportunity to experiment at home as well. But one of the things I have people do is pick a topic they already know very well. Something about themselves is a key point that we can bring in. Their work, a hobby, a recent experience. We're not going into a research mode is the point. We have just a simple topic. We've talked about this before on the podcast. We're working with what's already there. And then we build what I will just simply refer to as an effective structure. I'm encouraged to name these things sometimes or put a term to it. And I always find that stuff frustrating. It's not complicated. It doesn't need to be complicated. I'm not reinventing the wheel with anything on this. A simple, effective structure looks just like this. You have an introduction, which includes a greeting, something to capture interest, a brief introduction, yourself or the topic. If you are the topic, I try to avoid those intros. We'll talk more on that another time. Then we go into the body. Two or three main points, stories or examples to back up each point. Then we go into the conclusion. You restate your main points. It's an impactful close. There's thanks. There's an applause. That's the structure. That's it. Introduction, body, conclusion. The same structure you were probably taught when you were learning to write essays. Well, before people asked AI to do that too. What I've found consistently though is that people are very good at filling in the boxes on an outline. They have the stories. They have the points. They have the expertise. What they have not thought through, and this is the key, are the transitions between those boxes. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VOIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. This is really what I want you to take from this episode. The transitions are where your preparation energy should go, especially if you're familiar with the topic already. Most speakers overprepare their content and underprepare their transitions. They know their points cold. They have rehearsed their stories, but they have not thought about how they are going to move from point A to point B. They assume it will just happen. It does not just happen. Your transition, if broken, the audience watches you go looking for that thread. That's the drift. That's those weeds. That is the moment cohesion breaks down. And I'm not saying you need to script your transitions word for word. Sometimes it's not even a sentence. It might just be a thought. When I do this on an outline, sometimes it's just a note, or sometimes the transition is how one of my points ends and the other one will begin. The key here is that you ask yourself how you are moving from here to there before you are standing in front of a group of people. If you know the answer to that question, everything else seems to fall into place more naturally and the structure will feel very strong to the audience. A story can also function as a transition as well. In fact, I want to tell you a story that became something of a proving ground for the Speak Up workshop and this topic as well. It was a few years ago. My son was a senior in high school at the time. He'd been working toward his Part 107 license. That's a drone pilot's license so that he can use a drone for commercial use. And he was deep into that subject. Actually, like just bonkers into articulating the laws and the things, and we could find news stories now about what people were doing wrong and what the laws are that they were breaking. He knew it well, and he was telling me about it one night while I was working on creating an outline draft for the speaking workshop, and I said, hey, how would you like to come and give a speech on this topic to our Toastmasters Club? I was heading to a Toastmasters meeting that night. Well, he had no public speaking experience to speak of, but he did agree. Now, I'm trying to remember, too. I don't think I had to bribe him to go, but maybe we did grab something for dinner afterwards. Either way, here's the part I love. He worked on his outline in the car on the way to the meeting. That was the preparation window. It's barely 15 minutes on a car ride for me to get to where my Toastmaster Club meets. So he had the structure, he had the points, and yes, the transitions between them. And that was all he had. He walked in, the meeting started, and eventually it was his turn to go. He walked up, and I'm telling you, he gave a genuinely good speech. And it is not just dad telling you this. The club received it very, very well. And it's a kind of proud moment for me, too. But our club is like this. We have a tradition of allowing the older children, typically, of members of our club to come in, and they're always embraced. It's wonderful to be able to let them experience positive, evaluative environment like this. But for me, that was also fun because my club members got to meet my son. And of course, me and my wife got to hear all about how he perfectly resembles both of us. So it was just fun. The lesson's not about my son. The lesson is about the structure. He knew the subject, the framework that gave the knowledge that he had the shape it needed to be a cohesive speech. And because he had thought through how he was moving from point to point, the talk had cohesion. And yeah, he did have the outline in front of him for the speech, not a written script, just the outline. So he could look at that briefly as a map. That's the way I would reference notes. You just have a basic outline that works as a simple roadmap. Hey, the audience could follow him. I could follow him. It did not feel like a first speech in front of a Toastmasters Club. It was cool. But that's what effective structure does. It does not replace expertise. It gives expertise somewhere to go. And here we are at what I want to challenge you to do before your next talk. Whether it's a Toastmaster speech, presentation at work, or even just a difficult conversation you have with some complex repairs you maybe need to explain to a client, just build your outline first. Introduction, body, conclusion, fill in your main points, drop in your stories, then stop and look at the spaces between the points. Ask yourself, how am I going from here to there? Not just what I'm going to say in each section, but how am I leaving one and arriving at the next? You don't need to have a perfect answer. You do not need a scripted line. You just need to have a thought about it. The small act of preparation, planning the movement, is what separates a talk that feels cohesive from one that feels like a collection of thoughts looking for a home. Now, I think that you'll probably find that the transitions will lead you naturally into each piece of your content, and this will prevent you from forgetting important points, which I have found is a universal and something I hate it when it happens, but sometimes you go through a talk and it's like, ah, I forgot to give this point. Transitions will help prevent that. And that is tip number 9 in our 10 tips for public speaking series: structure your message with transitions. Our word of the day was cohesion, the quality of forming a unified, well-connected whole. A cohesive talk is one where the audience always knows where you are taking them. A lot easier to do when you know where you are. Hey, if you have something to add or something you are curious about, something you'd like to talk about, email me here, speakup@craigoneill.net. O'Neill with 2 L's. O-N-E-I-L-L. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps, or suggestions or topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey. And please remember, listen up on the app, free download, to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network: Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And once again, thank you to our sponsors at AutoFlow, Inbound, and ShopDog Marketing. Thank you, our loyal listeners, for joining us today. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, be cohesive.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.